Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and anorexic. I wasn't nervous until right now. And I might burst into tears. And I was just sitting here as Sharon was talking, and I was like looking at the cuffs of her pants. And I don't know why. They're just very clean. And I look down, and I have not shaved my legs in a month. And my socks are mismatched, and one of them's inside out. So, hello. So I just want to talk really briefly about my story as it pertains to my body image. My story around compulsive overeating and the bulimia part is not, you guys have heard it, and you've lived it. But one thing that I was just thinking of is that I don't think I've always been a compulsive overeater, but I can remember being disgusted with my body as a five-year-old. I remember being in kindergarten and comparing myself to girls that were skinnier than me and who had straight blonde hair. And I mean, I had an afro as a five-year-old because you can't brush my hair. So anyways, that feeling has been with me for since birth. And, you know, I developed... An eating disorder, began restricting, actually, was the first thing I did early on in high school. And the thing is that I got to a slightly low weight, you know, wasn't deathly ill, but felt really vulnerable because I got a lot of positive feedback about it, a lot. I was homecoming queen because, not because I lost weight, but probably because I lost weight. And you get a lot of positive feedback for what can be really unhealthy behaviors. What do I want to say? I did not come into program at my top weight. My top weight was about 60 pounds heavier than I am now. And I had stopped throwing up. I was a very severe bulimic in high school, but I got to college and discovered alcohol and completely detached from my body. And when you're completely detached from your body, it stopped. I still hated myself, but I didn't need to throw up anymore because I didn't care about controlling my weight. And I detached from my body by putting in myself in some really... really, I don't want to say abusive, but very, very dangerous positions, sexually. and I'm also a recovering alcoholic, and that played a big part of it. But I was thinking today as I was walking that I know that I have always had a higher power because I don't think I wouldn't have come into this program if I hadn't re-entered my body. And that happened just, you know, on a freak. I went on a trip and found myself on like a 5-day trek hiking up the Andes Mountains, you know, at really high elevations with a body that did not fit me. It's a long story how I got there, but after that experience, it was a very spiritual experience because you can't get up to 15,000 feet. With an out-of-shape body, but I didn't have a choice. I had to keep walking, and I had a spiritual experience years before I came into the program, and I started walking, and walking got me back into my body, and walking is still one of the most spiritual things I do. And I got into program after I had lost some of the weight and got into a relationship, and then, you know, the binging never went away. And got petrified that if I gained any of that weight back, that I would lose this guy. And I started throwing up again. And that really freaked me out. And that's when I walked into OA about 2 years ago in March, I think. And really quickly, I slipped and slid around for about 5 months. And I, too, found how. That's what worked for me. I had a very severe eating disorder. Food is a drug for me, period. And anyways, weighing and measuring my food, it took my head out of, it took my justifications out of the equation. So anyways, in terms of body image, I feel really weird being up here because I've feel fat. I mean, or have felt fat over the last few weeks for whatever reason. I got down to too low of a weight in this program, not by restricting, by following a food plan, but having sponsors go in and out, and I just kind of fell through the radar. And then somebody one day said, "You're underweight. You need to gain weight." And that was really, that's been really painful. So what I'm thinking about in terms of my body image, what I've been thinking about over the past few weeks and months, really, is that my obsession with my body and what I look like is. So I appreciate you bringing up balance earlier, because everything's about balance. And on the one hand, there's this, you know, little 5-year-old kid inside me that I've been berating, you know, for the last 20 years. And there's part of me that, wow, really, really needs nurturing. I do not have nice voices in my head. So that's a constant, something I practice on a daily basis, remembering that I can stop and tell myself nice things. And I have to do that about my body too. But I have to temper that with the fact that I could spend the rest of my life telling myself nice things about my body, and that would not be a very satisfying life. I don't want to, thank you. Should never talk without having a Kleenex in my hand. But so I have to temper this need to learn how to love myself, however I am, with the knowledge that I can't do this on my own, and I really think that a poor body image is a manifestation of a character defect, and you may disagree with me on that, but it's self-centeredness in the extreme, you know, and I can say that, like, because I don't have to berate myself over any of my character defects. That's not humility. So I'm not trying to be mean to myself. I'm not trying to beat my bad body image out of myself. But what it ultimately does is pull me inside, and that's what compulsive overeating did. And thanks. And so the good news about thinking of it in terms of being a character defect, and I mean character defects, the definition that the 12 steps gives us is it's a self-centered fear coupled with a natural instinct, and they just collide and go nuts. Well, my natural instinct is I want to be loved, and I want to be taken care of, and somewhere along the line, I learned that I would have a better chance of that happening if I were thin. And I don't believe that's true today, but that's what I was told. And so that collides with self-centered fear that's not going to happen, and that's a very human fear. And so the good news about putting this in a framework of character defects is that there are steps for that. And the steps are where my answer is, period. Like, end of story. Like, and I'm not one of those people that thinks that I can solve every single problem I'm ever going to have by going to OA meetings and going to AA meetings, period. But I know that I can't do anything else unless I go to those meetings. You know, like, I went to therapy years ago. I can't hear anything. And I can read books. I'm not reading anything unless I'm going to the meetings. So that's where my answer lies. And humility has been on my mind a lot lately. I've been thinking a lot. I'm working on my amends right now. But I'm constantly thinking about the sixth and the seventh steps. I feel so nebulous around them. because they don't, you know, I can't check anything off the list. Like, I can check amends off. So anyways, I've just been going back to the literature, and so grateful for that. Is that
five more?
Okay. So I just wanted to read out of step 7 of the 12 and 12. It says, in a way, we have discovered that humility is simply an awareness of who we really are today and a willingness to become all that we can be. Genuine humility brings an end to the feelings of inadequacy, the self-absorption, and the status-seeking. And so I do want to be nice to myself and nurture myself. And I also need to realize that part of my bad body image is me, like, wanting to be the best, wanting to be the skinniest person in the room, wanting to get the most attention from men. You know, it's embarrassing, but that's the truth. That's a character defect. And humility is the answer, for me anyways. But it also goes on to say that humility is a gift as surely as is our recovery from compulsive eating and the other miracles of healing we experience as we work the 12 steps. Our job is to be willing to let go of old attitudes which block humility, such as low self-esteem, status-seeking, and self-righteousness. So humility is a gift, and I get to ask for it, just like I get to ask for a better body image. I think I show that I'm willing by continuing to work the steps and following suggestions of other people, and that's what I'm doing here today. The first one is on page 60 and the second one's on page 62. So what I'm thinking about today, I've been talking about things that I'm able to hear now that I wasn't able to hear before. I'm in like this class that a sister of my friend is running, and it's basically about goal seeking and you know, what visualizing what I want for myself. And one of the things that's come up is that essentially a better body image. And when I really sit down and think about what a bit better body image is for me, it has to do with the way I hold myself, and it has to do with feeling strong in my body and standing up straight and having good posture. And clearly it's not about shaving your legs or bathing very much, but those are the things I'm focused on. And things that help with that are dancing, going to yoga, working out, walking. I hate running. I run if I'm really, really anxious, but that's it. And being in my body and breathing. And I need to, a sponsor of mine in another program has like this amazing meditation practice and just sits for enormous amounts of time. And she talks about how she sits and just sinks into her body. And when I sink into my body, I'm not conscious of fat. I'm conscious of the way the chair feels. I'm conscious of the temperature, and I'm conscious of the way I feel breathing. And I'm not conscious of fat. Fat is something else, and I really appreciate what Sharon has said about it being a distraction. Because I'm at a very, very healthy weight, and I feel like an ass saying this, but I still feel fat some days, so I'm sorry. I guess I didn't realize that at these retreats they usually reserve this time to talk about sexuality. I don't know if that makes people uncomfortable, and that's why they didn't do it this weekend. But I also think that's a really key component of it. I don't know what it's like for men, but I know for a lot of women, I was not taught to feel comfortable with my sexuality, period. And it's really tied to my ideas of what it means to be feminine, which is really tied to how I look. And it doesn't have to stay that way. But one of the things, and I don't have a nice I wish I could wrap this up in a nice little bow, but maybe if you have some ideas on this, you can talk to me afterwards. One of the things that comes up again and again is that I've never felt feminine enough. That's one of those feelings I felt as a 5-year-old. And somewhere along the line, my head decided that the way I could feel more feminine was to stop eating, that food was just a dirty thing. And I don't know where that came from, but to sum it up, I'm really grateful to be here, and really grateful that I was asked to speak, even though I feel so self-conscious talking about this, given that I've got a year and a half of abstinence and the rest of life ahead of me. But I can think of that as, the rest of my life as an opportunity for relapse, or the rest of my life to become more truly who I am. Because I do believe there is an essential core. I mean, that's my higher power, essentially. I don't really distinguish between the real Lisa, my soul, and my higher power. So keep on trudging. Thanks.